Buongiorno a tutti. Buongiorno Marco.
Buongiorno Martin, come stai? Come va oggi? Bene,
Molto bene, grazie. E tu?
grazie. Un po' di mal di testa? No, no,
Oh,
non è vero, non è vero. Not true. I just was to trying to recap what we did last time, where we felt like old people having all sort of pains everywhere.
sì, capisco. Ok, un po'. Per me un po' di mal di gola.
Un po' di mal di gola?
Sì.
Bene. Mi dispiace, mi dispiace.
Ho bisogno di whisky.
It's 8:24 in the morning. That's a good time to start, I guess. As good as any.
Maybe a little too early for that then.
Well, if you add some honey to the whiskey, then it should count as a breakfast, I think. So,
Okay, honey, miele?
miele.
Sì.
Sì.
Bene, bene. Well, this is not episode 10, 11, or anything, is it? What's this?
I'm gonna just call it like bonus or something. Because the idea was we thought with Martin to do 10 episodes in this first season, which we did, and to kind of see how the reaction was and what people thought and whatnot. And then I thought one episode that we need to include, since Martin is a student, is kind of share what he's doing as a student, like, what his pain points are, how he's improving, or what he feels like he's not improving. The number one reason, in my experience, why people give up learning on a language is because they get frustrated. And the number one reason why you get frustrated is because you do not have a system in place. So I feel like building this system and kind of incorporating things that work from someone that is doing the same thing, not only from someone that is teaching it because he was born in that language, I think it would be very, very useful for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I'm sure this is common to everyone, whether they're native English speakers or whatever, but you kind of need to see progress, don't you? You need to see progress all the time. You need to be challenged, otherwise it gets boring, but at the same time, you've got to see progress. And sometimes it's like living in a house with a child or a small animal. You don't see them grow. You can't see it because you're with them every day. It's very difficult to see your own progress. And somehow you've got to be able to measure that, and it's finding things that will help you measure that. I think that's also important.
Yes, no, I completely agree. I completely agree. And whenever we learn, I think I had this a lot when learning a language or any skill. I feel like we feel we are not improving for a long time, and there's a jump. And then you feel like you're not improving, and you're getting worse, and you're getting worse, and there is a jump. And like we don't learn linearly. We almost learn like in steps, and it
Yeah,
can be
it's
very frustrating in, if you've not doing the step.
yeah, that's it. It's inclines and plateaus.
Exactly.
Absolutely right.
I
That's
agree with
it.
that. I agree with that. So yes, I think it's going to be very interesting to chat about this with Martin. Martin because he's here, but I think any learner has got to have their own process, has got to have their own structure, how to do things. There is not a right or wrong. People learn different
No.
ways, but it's good to kind of share and see what you're doing, kind of compare what can I add, what can I remove. So let's get right into it, Martin. Let's see. How can we start this conversation? I think that talking about your routine, first of all. So first of all, tell us a bit, like very quickly, something more about yourself. You're from England. What other languages do you speak besides Italian? Like, do you have any Spanish or French experience coming up to it?
Yeah, so at school I did French and German,
Okay.
also Latin, which was offered at that age, and obviously everyone thought, why on earth am I doing Latin? And then when I was in my 20s, I decided, oh, I think I'll learn another language. So for some bizarre reason, I started learning Japanese, which I think was really good because it gave me an understanding of a language that's completely different to the structures of European languages.
Okay.
And helped me to understand grammar, I think, really a lot more, and the differences. And then I decided to do Spanish, I think because of holidays, and I think that's a driving force for a lot of people, as we've talked about before, business trips and holidays when you're
Yes.
getting older. So I decided to do Spanish, did Spanish through various different means, which were becoming available. And then on business trips, I've just learned lots of different languages and holidays. bits of. So I can communicate in Polish and Finnish and I don't know, lots of different languages, but I can only ask where the toilet is and say hello and
Okay.
order a beer and some chips. So, I couldn't really survive in that country.
Okay.
But enough so that, as we've talked about, so that it breaks the ice with someone. So if you're in a bar or you're in a shop or in a hotel, I can say hello in their language, which I think is always very important. It's just respect, isn't it, apart from anything else?
Yes, I agree. And I have a friend, I've not seen him in a long time, but he had this quest that whenever he would meet someone, he's German, whenever he would meet someone who's not from his own language, he would ask them how to say the following sentence: my dog is diarrhea. And he would just try to know this in every possible language, so to just say it. So I think when he met me, he said, il mio cane ha la diarrhea, because he knew already Italian, because Italian is pretty common. But it was a pretty interesting approach he had there.
Yeah, he's an icebreaker.
Yeah, it is. It is. And
Yeah.
I completely agree. Like, being able to say just a few things in a language is how you doing. We completely change the way people treat you, because you're not anymore the obnoxious foreigner, maybe coming from a rich country here with your fancy dollars to, make us feel poor. You kind of trying to fit in, you kind of trying to respect that. And I can speak for Italians. Italians love it when someone says, ciao, come stai? For now, though, let's start with your routine. You were telling me, Martin, the way you learn, and I think it was very good. So, how would you say you learn Italian? Like, how would you try to practice Italian? What different things do you incorporate?
I'll start by first of all saying that you could do one of these and it would be good because you'd still be doing it. But it depends how much you want to pick up and how you want to immerse yourself in it. But I use Duolingo every day, and I try to complete all three quests every day. Sometimes I don't, most of the time I do. And I think it's good to have that reminder on your phone to do it. I think it's really helpful. And as I said, just do a bit, that's fine. I also use Memrise every day. And I think Memrise is very good at reminding you and consolidating vocabulary. I
Okay,
think.
Memrise, just to give context, is because I think everybody knows Duolingo. Memrise is more similar to, it's similar, but it's more like flashcards, right? It's more like,
Absolutely.
right.
Absolutely. It's like flashcards. And when you've learned a word, let's say, prompt or perhaps. There will be four different possible translations as you are reminded, and then you click on the right one. And if you get it wrong, then you got the option to be able to go back and do it three times to get it
Right.
working in your head. It reminds you after a certain number of days which words you need to practice. And so I try and do that. And again, 10 minutes, 10 minutes of my day, 15 minutes of Duolingo, it's not a lot. And if you only did that, then it's still good for your memory. I think it's just a good habit to get into.
Yeah, I agree. And especially I mostly use Duolingo myself. Memrise, I used to use way back, I think it was 10 years ago, when they didn't even have courses. They just had literally people putting together words, like a list of 200, 300 words. And it was random people doing it. And then you would do it. And then you would find out that it was bad halfway through and you had to look for another course. But I guess they kind of made it better. So maybe I have to look at it again. But yeah, any of these courses, Duolingo, Memrise, I agree, every day for building vocabulary, so for learning new words, is absolutely great.
But I think another thing that Memrise is very good at, for each level, they've got a Learn with Locals button. And if you click that, what happens is everything that is said by a different person. And there's a video and they say it. And so one of the things that's most challenging I find about learning a language is it's all right understanding the words written in front of you. There's no stress, no pressure then. It's hearing people say it because everyone says it slightly differently. It's like coming to England and listening to someone from Barnsley speaking and someone from Cornwall speaking. They're going to say things in a completely different way. And it's just good to hear it in your head.
I agree. I agree that that's. I didn't know they did that. I really need to check again the app. It's been again 10 years since I last was on it. But yes, I would agree with you. If you only have 10 minutes on that specific day, because maybe it's a Monday and you know whatever, you just have to go to work and Monday is rough for you, do Duolingo or do memorize or do anything just to keep you going that extra day. You were talking to me about your streak on Duolingo. I don't necessarily agree with having like with the how useful that would be, but if it keeps you engaged, if it gives you that illusion or that perception that you're learning, as you were saying before, it's absolutely whatever it is. If it's a streak, if it's anything it is, you know, that keeps you engaged. That's super important.
But then again, it's the thing, as I said to you, it's the reward. We all need a reward. It's like the
Right.
good boy thing with a dog throwing it a
Right.
treat, you know? And the thing about Duolingo is it congratulates you. And I know that these are small, empty gestures, but sometimes that's what you need to get through it. The only other thing that I do, that I try to do every day is I read in Italian.
Great.
So
Yes.
I
What do you
always
read?
have. I started off with. There's a series of books called Short Stories In, and they've got them in different
Okay.
languages.
Okay.
And short stories, they're written by a guy called Ollie Richards. And you can go on Amazon, you can go on anything. Have you heard of Amazon, Marco?
I think it's a forest.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, but it's pretty far. You go to Amazon and what? You find books in there?
Yeah, in the trees. They grow on the
Well, they're
trees.
made out of paper, so that makes sense.
This is where it came from.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, Ollie Richards has done a series of books, and they have them in beginner and then beginner to intermediate, and they are short stories. And they're like, each chapter is about 4 or 5 pages long. And then at the end of the chapter, there is a short summary of the chapter. And the idea is that you don't look up words in a dictionary. So you, like in English, you're going to come across words that you don't understand. And sometimes you might read a whole sentence and think, right, don't really grasp that. But by reading on, you get the context, and it helps you see words repeatedly and think, oh yeah, now I understand what that must have meant. And it's a very good way to, almost without realizing it, understand grammatical structures of sentences and how things sound and how they look. And it's they're very, very good. I recommend them to anyone learning any language. And from there, I went on to another. There's a lady called Sonia Onyebene, and she has a blog, and she has a series of books that are mystery crime books. And they're, you know, they're quite they're great books. You know, as a standalone thing, they're quite exciting to read. You know, they're quite tense. And again, she does a summary at the end of each chapter. And again, don't. And she encourages. She says in the introduction, do not keep reading and read back and read again. Just keep reading. Just let the flow. And I just cannot undersell or oversell, should I say, how good these books are at taking you to another level.
Great,
Very good.
great. Yeah, it's funny. I was actually looking at writing my own. I used to like writing, so I used to. I was looking into writing my own thing for a short story or. But I agree. That's a great exercise, and I think this goes back to one of the hardest things to for a lot of. So I would say that I have to split roughly the people learning Italian with me in those that never learned another language and those that did. I think these two categories have to be made. People that just learn their first language with Italian, they have a few extra issues that people that maybe have meddled and fiddled with other languages don't. And one of the big issues that they have is that whenever I say something, they try to understand everything. Whenever they read something, they try to understand every word. And that's a big, I think, a big no-no in a language. You need to understand what words are important in a sentence. And therefore, what words you need to understand. When you read English, you don't focus on each and every word. You just quickly know, okay, this is what I need to understand, the subject, the verb, and everything else is kind of fluff, you know? I don't understand this word, but it's obviously not important, right? It's fine. And I think reading something that is complex as a novel, short novel, short story, whatever that is, can give you this ability. Do I need to know that word? just for where it is in the sentence, or is it something that can just, doesn't matter as much? So great point on reading, and listening is the same. I think for this, understand what to understand, so to speak. That's another t-shirt. Understand what to understand. That's a
Understand what to understand. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, listening to getting the opportunity to listen to like native speakers is a difficult thing. And we've talked about this, you know, like trying to find Italian songs. It's not as easy as an Italian growing up hearing English songs and seeing English television. And you've got to go and search out how to see that. Netflix is good because there are so many Italian TV shows and films that you can watch, and I really recommend doing that. And yeah, fair enough having English subtitles on if you want, but it's more fun if you don't. And I did see someone had said one time that it's a good idea to put, let's say you've watched Friends forever, you know, and you know Friends backwards. Well, then go onto Netflix and change it so it's in Italian and watch it in Italian, and you will understand, and you'll see words that will come up again and again and again, and you think, right, I don't know that word, but clearly it's a word that's used a lot, so maybe I will look up that word.
I completely agree. The first thing you should watch or read in Italian is something you know very well. Are you a fan of Harry Potter? Watch it in Italian. Are you a fan of The Lord of the Rings? Read it in Italian. I mean, that's not probably a good first read because it's a very long one. But in general, the first thing you should practice, you should try in Italian is something you should know.
Yeah, it's great. I guess that it's the speaking it that is the hard thing. That's the one of the kind of like the skills that you need to be able to do a language. It's the opportunity to speak it. And one thing that I do around the house and I've always done is I've always just thrown words in different languages in day to day. I'll walk into the kitchen and I'll just say tadaima, you know, Japanese, I'm home. And you know, just doing things like that, it's your family won't mind. They'll probably already think you're mad. So it's just a good thing to do, you know, just say salute instead of cheers, and you just greet people by saying ciao. You know, people say ciao anyway, so you know, just do it. And also when you pick things up out of the fridge, perhaps say it in a foreign language, you know, say it in Italian. You know, it might just help you remember things. And I just don't think you can get enough opportunities to speak in the language.
Solid point, great point. I was saying before, jokingly, you can speak to yourself. It's not such a big joke. I mean, we all have an inner dialogue. Well, not all of us. I read some people don't, but you can try to make it into an Italian thought, or Spanish or whatever language you're learning. I think it's a good exercise, you know. And I do it. I've done it for learning languages. Because the person you're speaking the most with is yourself, most probably, you know, most of us. So it's a very good I think it's a very good thing in general. But I agree, speaking in general has to be the hardest. There are ways you can practice speaking. Obviously, private classes are an obvious, you know, solution. I got into an exchange program when I was in university, so I found some French guy. I was studying French at the time. I don't know why, but I found this French guy was studying Italian, and we were just doing half an hour, half an hour. So that's, you know, there are apps that do these kind of things. There are websites. That's a great opportunity. Try to speak. If you have friends speak Italian, you're texting with them, text them in Italian. You know, just try to use it as much as you can. I agree. So try to use it as much as you can. I would agree that's going to be the hardest, especially as you get to a decent, maybe your level, A2 or even B1 level, starts to be the point where you feel the need to speak more.
I think so, and I think it is really difficult because if you find someone who's Italian to talk to, it's embarrassing. Because you don't want to make mistakes, especially as an adult. As a child, it's easier, isn't it? But as an adult, it's hard to speak to someone from that country and feel like, ah, oh, this is all going to sound wrong. And it's hard to get over that hurdle. And I think if someone can find a way of making that easy for people to learn, then that's a $1 million idea. I don't know whether ChatGPT is going to have some system like that where you can talk to it in Italian, it'll talk back to you. That to me would be perfect.
No, that's a good point, I think. I was reading that they're going to have take Wendy's orders as well with ChatGPT, so that's also useful. But no, but back to your point. I agree. No, I agree completely that feeling one of the reasons people give up is frustration. Another reason people give up is because they feel stupid. That feeling like I don't want to be a child, 70-year-old doctor. I'm a 30-year-old businessman. I don't have time to, make mistakes. I don't want to be made fun of. So I really think that it's very important to kind of accept that we all make mistakes. And maybe one day I will do an episode in which I share all the mistakes that I've made in English and in Spanish. And
Brilliant.
okay, usually when you make a mistake in a language, it's going to sound sexual. That's always what happens. Whenever you say something in the wrong context, it's always going to sound sexual. So that's fine. We all did it, What do you think? That people learn languages on books and then they start speaking and it's perfect? No, of course. Yo, Martina, you're a musician. You know very well that to learn an instrument, you gotta play it. You gotta make mistakes. It's not gonna just happen. You just gotta
No.
try until it happens. So obviously, surrounding yourself with professionals, people that teach for a job, they will not make fun of you if you say something that's very funny. But I in general think people tend to be very supportive of people, and mistakes are not are much worse in your head than they are in actuality. That's my belief in general. I have laughed for my mistakes a lot more than people around me have. Let's put it that way.
It's all about mindset, isn't it? It's all about how you perceive things, and you've got to convince yourself that this is not a problem, and you just got to get on with it. And it's hard for us to do, and I think that's accepting that's the thing. Another thing you asked about grammar, and how to learn grammar, and I think a lot of people can probably get through learning a language to the level that they actually want to do for conversation without having to go down the grammar route. Some people are put off by grammar. Some people are put off by learning a language altogether. Some people have got this mindset again where, oh, I can't do it. I can't learn languages. And I think that's absolute rubbish. Everyone can do it because babies do it. And, it's just all about changing how you think about stuff. But grammar, if you are not that kind of person that wants to understand how to cross the T's and dot the I's, then fine, don't do it. You don't have to do it.
Do you think you can actually become fluent without grammar? That's not a trick question. That's an honest question. I think there are two big answers depending on the person. So, what's your opinion?
Again, children do it.
Yeah, but
And I
children
think,
are—they're
yeah, but
wizards.
children only really learn grammar as they are getting to kind of like 8, 9 years old, and that is changing in England. But understanding why we do things, I think it's an important part of like progressing. But I think you could go to a country and tell people that your dog's got diarrhea. You don't need to understand that that's the present tense and that your dog's a noun, and that these things are not important to be able to communicate with someone. If you want more than that, then yes, once you are interested in why that works and what, then fine, look it up, but don't beat yourself up about it and think it's a stumbling block.
Okay, so I think that there are two big ideas. I am a big grammar fan. Like, I like to understand why things happen, and if I don't understand why things happen, I tend not to, like, I have a mental block where I cannot learn as well,
Okay, but can I ask you, do you understand how your television works?
Yes.
So if your television
No, I don't.
works.
Obviously, I don't. That's I'm not learning with television, So, I can make you the example. I'm working on my PhD thesis, and that to me is reading everything. Like, you gotta read like hundreds of papers, and then you kind of make this huge, and I could show you, but it's at least 2 meters away, these huge graphs with arrows everywhere, and then I can put the pen on the paper, or the fingers on the keyboard, I guess, and start typing. Because before I cannot, unless I understand everything that is going on, and then I can make sense of it, you know? So I believe in planning and then execution as opposed to jumping into it. Whereas I know people, and I agree with you, that are put off entirely by planning, and they just need to start writing, and then they can start reading, or they need to start speaking, and then they can start learning. But I really think there's two very, very clear categories of people. Some people need structure, and some people hate structure, and they both are fine. Just depend. You gotta know what you are. That's for sure.
And I think that whole, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love grammar. And what I don't do is I don't buy one book and read that and think that is exactly how it works, because the person who's written that book sees grammar in one way. And I think you've got to read two or three different ones to completely understand. But I think if you apply this to, let's say, sport or to music, there are plenty of people who have written songs that are absolutely like amazing kind of household name songs, who don't even understand chord structures and don't know, notes, etc. It just sounds right to them. And it's the same with sportsmen who don't practice but are just naturally talented. I don't think you need to understand grammar. I think some people have an awareness of how things work without being able to put it into words, how it works.
I agree. Can I just say, what you just said there, naturally talented. I think that we all like to think that we are naturally talented, you know? And I think this is one of the big issues. I was one comment in one of my courses that I think was very instructive. It was this person that was complaining about the endings of words changing, right? We were talking about this in the masculine feminine class. Now all our listeners know why that happens. And this person was asking whether they can learn, Italian, whether that course was about Italian or was about like linguistics, I think the word that they used. And I think that we all like this idea of being able to intuitively understand things as opposed to studying them. But that's a very risky, road. You gotta be able to actually intuitively understand, because otherwise, what's going to happen? And I've seen this many, many times. You start, you get to the present tense. You sort of understand it, masculine, feminine, all right. And then as soon as you get to the first past, passato prossimo, where you have to remember essere and avere, you have to remember the past participle, you have to remember masculine and feminine, if it's a verb made with essere, you understand nothing, because you do not have that intuitive understanding. And then you think, oh, this course was poor, or well, this language is too hard, I give up. So I think that this naturally talented is a very risky road if you're not naturally talented. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I would, again, another analogy, I would say, we can drive a car and we don't have to understand how the engine works, but we have to know how to put petrol in it. We have to know if the tires need inflating. There are certain things that we do need to know in order to be able to do something successfully. But I think the grammar side of it, you've got to want to learn grammar. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. You're going to meet a point where you can't get any further. You just can't. But you'll be able to communicate enough to be able to order sausage, egg, and chips on your holiday.
So if your goal is just learn a few words, just learn words and maybe the present tense, you don't need grammar, of course. You just learn the present tense, which is not even barely grammar, it's just a simple conjugation, and then learn words, and then you can definitely make do without anything else. But obviously, if you want to go beyond that and you want to be able to read news and you want to be able to just do things that are more, complex than just simply saying simple things about yourself or asking questions, then I would say you do need some degree of grammar, unless you're a genius. But I really think it's dangerous to give people the hope that they're geniuses, because they will believe it. But I want to stress this. I've learned it's English, and I learned Spanish, and I'm writing my PhD thesis, and I cannot do anything until I completely understand what's going on. Like, I need to plan everything out. And so it's not being smarter or being sillier. It's just your brain works in a different way, And
Absolutely.
you gotta know how you learn. That's I think very important.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. But again, the one thing I would say is it's like what was said about Duolingo, memorize, etc. You know, whatever you need to be able to do to feel like you are progressing and you
Yes.
are getting on
Yes.
that language. And if you carry on learning Italian for enough days, you will reach a point where you will want to understand why. But you've got to reach that point by
I
yourself.
agree.
You can't read grammar because someone's told you to do it because you're just not going to want to do it.
I agree.
You've got to want to learn to be able to learn. So that's, I think this has become quite an interesting podcast itself.
No, I was sure it was going to be, and I want to
Yeah.
add to this. I used to have a student that was American student, United States of America, never spoke another language, and had to learn Italian. And so I went through my usual, what you see in my courses, the grammar that I always do with beginners, and then this person just didn't want to do it. And so what we figured that worked for him was just reading. We would just meet, we would chat for 10 minutes, and then he would just read something in Italian. I would just try to translate it. And then I would say, oh, okay, this specific sentence is this way because, and by seeing it and figuring it out, kind of solving the puzzle, so to speak, that was a much better learning experience for him than just learning words. So that could work. It depends on who you are. And I really think this is key. Know how you learn, know what you enjoy and what you don't, and focus on at the beginning, as Martin was saying, at the beginning, focus on what you enjoy. And then later on, obviously, if you want to keep improving, you will need to do something on what you don't enjoy as well. But start where you enjoy it. If you enjoy structure, learn structure. If you don't, don't. But just do what you like.
And I think, yeah, and I think you've touched on a good point there as well, that you will, if you are learning a language, you will meet things that you think, right, I want to understand that, but it just won't stick in my head. And what you've got to do is not force it in. You've got to go away from it, go back to the things you enjoy doing, and then go back to it again at a later date. And I was just talking to Marco before this about a course that Marco's done, an intermediate course, and part of it, whilst I was listening to it and watching it, and I understood what he was saying, it wasn't all going in my head. It wasn't all sticking. And I could recognize that, and I thought, well, I'm going to carry on watching it. And then I went away for a month, and I'm coming back to it again now. And the sheer fact that I'm watching it again, parts of it, I'm thinking, oh, I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember that. And then it's like your brain is opening doors. It's not, the doors aren't closed anymore. They're seeing things, they're recognizing things, and it's easier, and it just goes in easier. And I think sometimes returning to things several times is the key to it.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And especially you're talking about a course or a book is the same. Whenever you let's say you have a grammar book or a course, online or whatever, there's going to be topics that are harder for you, naturally harder for you. So as you were saying, when you do encounter that, what is your strategy, Martin? Let's say that you struggle with the subjunctive or with you were talking about combined pronouns earlier. When we have more than one pronoun in the same sentence in Italian, which is fairly common for native speakers, how would you suggest that someone, also both as a learner and as a former teacher, that's also probably something that can help you. How would you suggest someone approach harder topics, harder for them topics?
People learn in different ways, don't they?
Yes.
And I think some people, it's easier to write things down. Even and I find sometimes, like conjunctive is a good example, the subjunctive, in that if what I did was, when I followed your lessons, is I wrote the on one page, I just did the subjunctive in the present tense, then in the next page subjunctive in the past tense, and I wrote them down with all the different conjugations, and I've never looked at them again. But the sheer fact of writing it down helped me understand it a little bit more. Saying things out loud helps you to understand things. And also repeating things helps you to understand things. Some people like to, my daughter likes to write post-it notes and stick them all over the walls, and like flashcards, and And again, it's whatever works for you. And I would recommend trying different things, especially if something is too hard and you think, wow, I'm never going to get this. Then I've got two sheets of A4 paper on the wall over there, which have got things like come sempre, o mai, eppure, dappertutto, comunque, tuttavia, all the kind of different adverbs that you throw into sentences, they're all on the wall in front of me.
Right.
And all these, it's whatever works. And sometimes different things work in different occasions.
Right. I agree. I agree. It goes back to what the way you like to learn and the way you need to learn and kind of build on that. And I think it's kind of similar to math. If you ask someone that doesn't like math, they will tell you, I understand nothing, which is not true. They understand something. So you need to understand what you don't understand. Like this goes back to the previous t-shirt. We can have another one. Understand what you understand and understand what you don't understand. It's very important that you don't just give up because it's too hard. What is the problem, right? And if someone is teaching you one-to-one, it's very easy. You know, okay, you have a problem with this tense. You have a problem with this idea. But if it's not, understand what's your problem. How important is it? Okay, the subjunctive. Can you live without the subjunctive? 100%. Yes, you can. So, do you hate it? Skip it. Whereas, can I live without pronouns? I mean, you can, but you're not gonna understand much when people speak. You cannot use them, but people are gonna use them. So maybe you need to understand. So understand how serious it is that you understand something, and then figure out if, how, and when you want to go back to it and make sure you understand it.
Another thing that you've made me think about there, when I was at school, I didn't think I could do math,
Right.
and then I ended up becoming a teacher, like an elementary school, primary school teacher, and I found very quickly that actually math was the thing I was best at,
Yeah.
and it was the thing that I could teach best as well. And then I suddenly realized during kind of like the pedagogy of teaching that it's the teacher a lot of the time. The teacher, maybe when I was growing up, made me feel it was that teacher that made me feel I couldn't do maths. And so sometimes, like I say, you know, if you're learning the language one way, you might find that if you try doing it with a different book or a different website or a different podcast or whatever, that it works better for you. And it might be that it's the teacher, not you.
That's pretty common. I would agree. And I chose math as an example because I agree. A lot of people think they do not know how to do math, but I don't believe it's true. I think math is not necessary. I mean, it depends on what level you're doing, right? Of course, if you're writing a PhD thesis in math, then yeah, of course, it's not something that everybody can do. But I think simple stuff that you do in school or even high school, I think pretty much everybody can do, just if you're taught the right way. Or if you learn the right way, whichever way you want to look at it, obviously.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So yeah, great point. And I think we're going a bit longer. So I don't want to also talk about too many things. But in general, so if I have to kind of consolidate what we saw today, build a routine, whatever it is that works for you, that has incentives that you enjoy, something that keeps you engaged. And really try to get there however you want, but get there. That can we say it this way? Like just whatever works for you, whatever keeps you engaged, whatever you enjoy doing, do it, but do it.
I guess it's the routine to begin with. If you're starting something and you know that that's what you want to do, you've got to keep doing that routine on a daily basis every day. And which is why the apps on your phones are really a good way of starting. And then from there, if you want to do more, it's out there. And you know, if people want to send us a message on Twitter or whatever, or through your courses, you know, anybody who needs any advice or any help or any pointers on where to go next or what dictionary, what grammar book, etc., then yeah, fine, reach out and ask us. Speak to other people who are doing it as well. You know, sometimes I find that if you sign up for a course, courses can be quite expensive, especially like local kind of I don't know, courses where you go once a week
Yeah,
and
boot camps.
you feel like you've got to go, otherwise you'd be letting people down, and that's a recipe for disaster, is that? You've got to do it to suit you, to suit your own personal way of life with your friends, family, or however you live it. So just try and find what your way of life is, that, you know, how does it work for you?
Completely agree. And I would say one last thing that has worked for me in a lot of things that I wanted to learn in the past. Don't be alone. I think that trying to find a community of any sorts, online, live, Reddit, a subreddit that you start following, a Facebook group, a course if it has some social aspect to it, a YouTube channel, someone that you start seeing, every day. Just try to put yourself in a place. It's like if you're trying to do anything, I think, if you're alone, you're going to lose motivation very quickly. Whereas if you're in a group of people supporting each other, I think it's a lot easier to stay engaged. So that's something that I think can help substantially. And I think Reddit for that is great. I love Reddit. And I think, find a subreddit, introduce yourself, share your journey, read other people's journey, what their issues are, help them with their issues. Just try to be engaged with somebody that will keep you on your toes and make sure you don't give up because you're keeping them on their toes, if that makes sense. I think that's really helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah, be a cheerleader. That's
Be a
it.
cheerleader and find a cheerleader at the same time. Yes, completely.
Excellent.
Great. And I think it was a very interesting episode, so thanks a lot, Martin. And
Yeah, me
everybody, let
too.
us know what you think. If what's your best way of learning? What you hate doing? What you found was very helpful for you? And let us know what you would like for the future. How would you like this podcast to continue? And let us know.
Yeah, we should probably end with that yeah, we very much want to continue this.
Yes.
And we'd like to know from people who do listen regularly, what would you like us to do from
Yes.
here? How would you like to change it? What parts do you like to stay the same? Help us to help you, really, I suppose.
Yes, definitely. This was a bit of a different test. Let us know if you enjoyed a longer, more, relaxed chit chat, coffee and or beer format, or if you'd rather something quicker and dirtier, so to speak. But thanks for everybody that joined us for these 11 episodes. Thanks a lot for. Thanks a lot to Martin for being with us, with me. And yeah, see you in the next one.
Grazie a tutte, grazie Marco e yeah, ci vediamo dopo,
Sì, a
spero.
presto. Ciao
Ok,
ciao.
ciao.